You have your Bible with you. Would you turn to Joshua chapter 5 from verse 13? It's page 219 in the Pew Bible. 219 in the Pew Bible. Joshua 5 from verse 13. And we're going to read through to verse 5 of chapter 6. Let's again hear the Word of God. Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the people will go up, every man straight in." And we're ending there at verse 5 of chapter 6. And we pray that the Lord would bless this reading of His truth to our hearts for Christ's sake. Amen. Come tonight to this passage to look at the commander's instructions. You'll know from the Bible that there's a promise there that those who honor God, God will honor. Last week in Brookside, we saw how Joshua had all the men circumcised, how they celebrated the Passover for the first time in 40 years. And so Joshua made sure that the people honored God. And now here they are coming to the beginning of the taking over the land that the Lord has given to them. And they're looking to God now to honor them, just as they have honored him. But the first thing I want you to notice here from this story is Joshua's anxiety. Joshua's anxiety. What was it? Well, I'm sure Joshua was, it doesn't say here specifically that he was anxious. I'm absolutely certain he was. This is his first big test, if you like. God had put him in charge in succession to Moses, and here he is leading this vast number of people. And they're faced with their first battle. Here they meet their first fortified city. They had never seen one before. Remember, everyone who's in the Israelites is 40 or under, except for Joshua and Caleb. So here they are, and they're faced with this city, and it says it's a fortified city. It's shut up tight. How would he, Joshua, do? How is he going to do in this situation? How would the people respond? What was the best strategy to use to overcome this obstacle? And while Joshua is out looking over the city, and I'm sure pondering questions like I have suggested and others besides, there's a man appears before him. This man appears before him. Now, there's a lesson I want to draw your attention to here right away. Even when we are fully assured that God is with us, even when we're absolutely certain that God is going to undertake for us, we still need to use all the faculties that God has given us. We still need to use our best efforts. We still need to use proper means and precautions. And to refuse to do so on the pretext of wholly relying on God to do all for us. That is not faith, that is presumption. And so, for example, we have Joshua here, and he's out looking at the city, and he's pondering, he's thinking, he's planning. And it was when Joshua was in the path of duty, it's when Joshua was discharging his responsibilities, that he meets the Lord. And I believe it's the same for us. We who are His people today need to use all the skills and abilities that God has given us as we live for Him in this world. And that means that we make the effort to learn more about Him and His Word. How do we get to know God? What is the primary means of getting to know God? Surely, it's as we get into His Word, because it's there that He has revealed Himself to us. Christians should never think that they have nothing more to learn. They should never get to the position where they think, well, you know, I know the stories. I've read these stories since I was a child. I know. What's the point of reading them over again? Well, you know, you wouldn't say that when you sit down, you know, when you go in home after church. You wouldn't ever think of saying, well, you know, I had my dinner last Sunday. Tell you the truth, I've had a dinner every day this week. Sure, I don't need to sit down today and eat again. Huh. 3 times a day we do that and more, because we need it. We need the strength physically. And surely it's the same spiritually. We need to feed on the Word of God. We need the nourishment of the Word of God. But it's there that God reveals Himself. It's there that we get to know Him better. And what I'm saying here is we need to use the means of grace. And those means are the Word of God. And the other one, of course, is prayer. And fellowship. I don't know how to be original here. I wish there was some original way I could say what I want to say. And what I want to say is that more people, more of God's people, need to pray. I can't get through a week without meeting with God's people to pray. And it's not because it's my job. Long before I ever became a minister, that was the priority for me in my Christian life. It was to be at the place of prayer. And when I wasn't there, I missed that. Because in the place of prayer, I'm developing my relationship with the Lord. I'm able to speak to Him in prayer. I'm able to think about what He has done as I listen to other people praying. And I'm sure Trinity and Brookside are no different from us. I'm sure Mr. Moody and Mr. Smith is no different from me. We'd love to see more there. That's so important. We need to use all the faculties that God has given to us. How was Joshua's anxiety relieved? Well, it tells us in verse 13 that he looked up and saw. He looked up and saw. The Lord appeared to him. He couldn't violate his word. The Lord couldn't violate His word and leave His servant alone. Joshua 1 and verse 5. Joshua 1 and verse 5. Do you remember what the Lord said? No one will be able, saying this to Joshua, no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that a tremendous promise? Here's a word of comfort for the despairing. Jesus himself said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And isn't it true, brothers and sisters in Christ, so often we're caught up with trials and tribulations, and it's like the worries of the world threaten to overwhelm us, and we need to look up. And we need to learn to expect his presence. Someone has said, and I believe has said rightly, not work but worry saps the strength. Not work but worry saps the strength. So there was Joshua's anxiety. But secondly, we see here Joshua's courage. Do you remember all those admonitions and promises of the Lord to Joshua to be courageous? Again, chapter 1, if you go back to chapter 1 and verse 6, the Lord says to Joshua, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Tremendous promises. And they weren't lost on Joshua. He goes up to this man with the sword and he asks, are you for us or our enemies? He didn't know who he was, but he was determined to fight if a foe. Two things I want you to notice here. First of all, Joshua knew of only two armies, those who were for him and those who were against him. Which army? That was the question. And in our conflict with sin, there are but two sides. He that is not with us is against us. So don't we need to ask that question of people that we come in contact with? Young people, as you make friends, and friends are peculiarly important to young people, as you make friends, do you ask the question, will this friend draw me towards Christ or away from Christ? And of course, that affects every age. And the relationships that we get into, whether they're personal relationships or business relationships, are they going to help us to grow or are they going to hinder our growth? Those are important questions. Will this situation that I'm in, this job that I'm doing, will it drive me to Christ or drive me from Christ? So Joshua knew of only two armies. Secondly, we see here that God appears in the form best suited to his servant's need. To Moses, needing to be reminded of the indestructibility of the church of God, there was shown a burning bush, unconsumed, burned but unconsumed. And now to Joshua, for the campaign ahead, God reveals himself as a fully armed warrior, armed as the commander of the army of the Lord. The titles of God today assure his people that he can supply all their need. To the afflicted, he's the God of all comfort. To the depressed, he's the God of hope. In our loneliness, he is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's the father of the fatherless. He's the storm. He's the refuge in our storm. In the waves, he's our rock. In the battle, he's our captain. He's our shield. Joshua's anxiety. Joshua's courage. But the third thing we see here is Joshua's humility. Joshua's humility. When this stranger speaks, Joshua is immediately aware of his exalted nature. And what happens? Immediately, he throws himself on the ground. He bows and he worships. Now, let's remember who Joshua is. Joshua's a great general. He's the leader of the people of Israel, of the people of God. He's the commander-in-chief, if you like. And here he is, prostrate before this figure. But here he shows that he's ready to receive commands or advice concerning the battle. Do you see it there in verse 14, at the end of verse 14? What message does my Lord have for his servant? After he has fallen face down to the ground in reverence, he asks, what message does my Lord have for his servant? Reminds us of Saul of Tarsus, doesn't it, on the Damascus Road. What do you want me to do, Lord? You know, we should never come to the position where we have nothing more to learn. I think there's very few things as tragic as that, as to meet some Christian who thinks they know it all. To meet a Christian with an unteachable spirit is a terrible thing. And I've met my share of them in my day, I can tell you. And you can tell them nothing. They know it all. What message does my Lord have for his servant? That's the question we need to be asking all the time. Of ourselves and of the Lord for ourselves. Lord, what is it you want me to do? What is it that you want me to fulfill for you? The humility of Joshua. And then the fourth thing we see here is his obedience. Look at 15. Verse 15, the commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy. And Joshua did so. Joshua took off his shoes, just like Moses before him. The shoes represent the defilement of the earth. It was not fit to remain on holy ground. Of course, the Lord isn't looking so much for outward prostration from us as he's looking for the bowing of the heart and the bending of the will. Joshua's obedience was rewarded here with directions and a promise. And it is as we obey that God reveals more of himself. It is as we obey that God leads us on and encourages us to go on. And then in chapter 6, in verses 2 to 5, the Lord gives Joshua instructions concerning the taking of Jericho. And we see here God's part. And the first thing we notice here is that success is certain. Notice the Lord didn't say to Joshua, I will deliver Jericho into your hands. No, he doesn't say that. See what he says? I have delivered Jericho into your hands. Past tense or perfect tense, it's a completed action. I have delivered Jericho into your hands. And that tells Joshua, before he begins the work, that the work is completed. It is sure, it is certain, there is absolutely no doubt about it. Why? Because it's the Lord himself who says it, and it is the Lord himself who does it. I believe that is a tremendous encouragement to us who are believers. First of all, with regard to personal faith. Always, when we're challenged to follow Christ, And you, if you're a Christian, you can remember before you became a Christian. Do you remember this fear that you had? You know, will I be able to keep it up? Will I be able to remain faithful? Will I fall away? How will I be able to persevere? And then we look at God's word. And God says, or through his word, Paul says, he that has begun a good work in you will finish it. He is the author and the finisher of our faith, just as much the finisher of our faith as the author of our faith. Jesus, the Son of God, says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. But not only is this a great encouragement to personal faith, but it's also a great encouragement with regard to Christian service. We are often reminded that we're saved to serve. Isn't that right? Every believer is a servant of the Lord. The Lord has given you a specific task to accomplish. For example, to be faithful just where you are. To be faithful in your home. To be faithful in your church. To be faithful in your work. To be faithful to him, to be obedient, to be teachable, to be open, to be willing to do what he asks, whatever he asks. And it may be that I'm speaking to someone here today and God is dealing with you and he's challenging you to leave everything behind and to prepare to serve him overseas somewhere. I don't know. Maybe that God is challenging some of you to think about doing some door-to-door work in this village. And you think to yourself, but Lord, I couldn't do that. I just could not go up to someone's door and I would be afraid. I couldn't do it. It may be that God wants to get you involved more deeply in the prayer life of your congregation. And again, you think, but if I start to pray, people hear me pray, they'll think I'm thick. They'll think I don't know anything. Maybe that those things look like the impregnable Jericho to you. Just like Jericho looked to Joshua. What is your Jericho? What is it that you're afraid of? Listen to the Lord. I have delivered Jericho into your hands. What is one of the most formidable obstacles to our serving the Lord? I'll tell you what it is. It was mentioned the other day, wasn't it? Wasn't it on Wednesday night? One of the most formidable obstacles to our serving the Lord is the fear of man. And that is a truth. Not only is that fear an obstacle in coming to personal faith, and it is, we're afraid of what our friends might think, we're afraid that we'll fail, we're afraid. And how often the Word of God comes to us and says, fear not, don't be afraid. But it's also true when it comes to serving the Lord. We feel afraid. We think we're going to look stupid. The fear of the ridicule of others. The fear of not looking cool. God forgive us. Listen. If God be for us, who can be against us? Who? if God be for us. God had called Joshua to a specific task, and he tells him that success is certain. Certain. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Don't know what the page number is. You can find it for yourself. Ephesians 2, verse 10. This comes after, you know, the section, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And you come to verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Listen to this. Which God prepared in advance for us to do. To do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. It may be that God has prepared a good work for you to do in this village. To get involved in the prayer life of your congregation. To get involved in the outreach. Tell me, Christian, if you're not involved in those things, what are you doing? What are you doing for the kingdom? Are you just lying back on the oars and doing nothing? There's not one of us here, not one of us who's a Christian has any excuse. You know, all of us have prayer meetings at different times during the week. Sometimes a Wednesday night isn't, you're not available. You're maybe working, I don't know. But there are other times when there are prayer meetings in the church and you can be part of it, if you want to be. Our outreach, going out two by two, you can go. One, we're looking for one evening a month. That's all. One evening a month. You pick the evening. What hinders you? The fear of man. Listen, success is guaranteed. The work's prepared in advance for you to do. For you to do, personally. Maybe you think this isn't for you. You're above this. You know too much. That's an unteachable spirit. That's arrogance. That's the opposite of grace. God's part guarantees success. And then man's part. We've noticed before in this study that the many precious promises that Joshua received could have led him to inactivity. You know, because God promised it, well, sure, I don't have to do anything. But I want you to notice that Joshua applied himself. He heard the instructions, how they were to go every morning, thousands of them, and walk around the wall in the last day seven times. And then they were to shout. I'm not going to go into that because that's going into next week's portion. But all I want to say to you is this, that it's not just a matter of taking, reading those promises of God and saying, boy, that's great. That's great to have the promises of God. We have a part to play. We're to do what we're called to do. You may say, but sure it'll not make any difference. God's going to accomplish his purpose anyway. That's not the point. The point is God has ordained that he would use people like you and me to bring glory to his name, that he can use the likes of us, hell-deserving sinners. He can change us and he can mold us and he can make us to be instruments in his hand. It's God who saves, for instance. Isn't that right? Salvation is of the Lord. From start to finish, he's the author and the finisher of our faith. And yet the Word of God says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you. And in our Christian service, therefore, we diligently ought to apply ourselves to the means of grace. to prayer and Bible study and fellowship. Maybe it doesn't seem that exciting. Maybe you might be tempted to think it doesn't make any difference. Wonder how the people of Israel felt whenever Joshua told them what the Lord had told him that they had to do. I'm sure they scratched their heads and wondered, what good's that going to do? Walk around the city. But they were obedient. And we know what happened. And you'll hear what happened in next week's thrilling installment. I hope you'll be there. Let's pray together. Lord our God, we just praise you that you are such a powerful God. You treat us better than we deserve. Lord, we deserve only your wrath, but you delight in mercy. You love to do good to your people. Lord, I pray that you would help us not just to be hearers of your word. Make us doers of it as well. Because we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.